I have been criminally charged for voicing my deeply held beliefs that are based on classical Christianity.
Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rossinen, speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
If this kind of questioning of free speech is possible in a country like Finland, which has a long roots in Christian culture and values and good reputation regarding free speech internationally, the same could be possible anywhere.
You can watch and listen to Dr. Päivi Räsänen making the case for Christians in the public square from the 2022 Making the Case conference. For a $300 gift by Labor Day, you can access an on-demand video stream or podcast of the entire conference. Order today at issuesetc.org or by giving us a call, 618-223-8385. In some societies, religion and culture, religion and national identity, slowly over time become almost the same thing. You can think of India, where in many places in India, the religion is what it means to be Indian. What about Japan? There's a Japan Times headline, How Faith and Spirituality Shape Modern Japan. We'll do a little history and see how it shaped Japan then and now. Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll spend some time talking about religion in Japan with Dr. Daniel Jastrom. Then Pastor Hans Feeney joins us to answer that question that has recently been posed online since the Biden administration forgave $10,000 to $20,000 of student debt. Does the Bible support student loan forgiveness? Joining us to talk about religion in Japan, Dr. Daniel Jastrom. He's Asia Lutheran Resource Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Jastrom, welcome.
Thank you very much, Todd.
In a timely way, the AP is reporting today that the Japanese government is apologizing for party links to the Unification Church and they're cutting ties. What do we need to know about that?
Oh, there's a lot to know about that. In the midst of the swirl and the haze involved with perceptions about religion in Japan, one of those is perceived dangerous associations with what some would consider in Japan a cult or a denominational subgroup or a sect. And definitely the Unification Church falls in that category in the minds of most Japanese people.
So I have heard that Japan is a largely secular state. Is that true?
Yes, it is true. By secular, if you mean that a religion is not the primary factor in people's lives and their identity as people doesn't primarily depend on religion and their identification with it, then yes, secular in the sense that we would understand it without any religious affiliation per se and with a kind of modern scientific viewpoint on life.
What are the historical religious belief systems of Japan?
The indigenous beliefs of Japan go back to its earliest beginnings as a civilization. So that's usually called Shintoism, the way of the gods, but it's clothed in mythology and in the ancient history as recorded in the tales of the beginning of Japan. And of course, it's closely associated with the first emperor. Apparently, Japan has the longest imperial line in the world, continued by unbroken from the earliest emperor back in the 600s BC. And the emperor was considered the descendant of the sun god, Amaterasu. So every emperor from that time has that lineage and mythology behind him. And, of course, the indigenous religion is inseparably linked with a sense of nationalism, who you are as a Japanese born in Japan, with the culture and the customs and the beliefs that go back to the very beginnings.
How does Buddhism influence Japanese culture?
Yeah, interesting. Buddhism was introduced to Japan. Of course, it originated in India and then came through Southeast Asia, through China, through Southeast Asia, through Korea, and then came to Japan in the 500s AD. So it was already about 1,000 years old when it reached Japan, but each country that it came into, it kind of amalgamated with the local deities of the nation that it came to, and including Japan. So the national deities associated with the country were integrated into the Buddhist religion as practiced in that country. And so for also Japan, it already had the folk and indigenous beliefs of its mythology from Shintoism. But when Buddhism came, it came with the structure of Confucianism as it was formulated through China. So general morality of life associated with being enlightened, understanding your life purpose and having a life philosophy, and then incorporating also with the local deities in an amalgamated way. So it's a religion that survives from one place to another, and it survived very, very well in Japan.
How does Shinto differ from Buddhism?
Well, as I mentioned before, Shinto is indigenous to Japan only. I don't know of any extensive proselytization outside of Japan, but it's connected with the nation of Japan, whereas Buddhism, even though it started in India, almost no one associates it primarily with India, but with the Eastern countries, Eastern religion and whatnot. So in Japan, you can, without any problem, follow Buddhist customs and Shinto customs at the same time, because most of those customs are considered simply as customs, not a matter of religious belief per se. In some areas, I think Buddhism does have more strictly followed teachings, life philosophies and teachings about humans in contrast to divinities, or as humans become more deified, that sort of thing. But in Japan, unless you're a religious adherent to the teachings and practice of Buddhism as a religion per se, almost everybody practices both Buddhism and Shinto customs without any association with a belief system or with an attachment to a religious organization.
What role does the occult play in Japanese beliefs?
Well, the occult is, I think, probably most properly understood as something refers to something that is hidden or concealed. And in that sense, we think of it in the United States as something more associated with magic or the black arts or secret societies or things like that. But in its essence, it can also come just close to the meaning of being a cult, a sect, a denomination, you might say. Those words are pretty closely associated with each other in the Japanese language and Japanese mindset. So if you kind of put on the shelf any sort of ominous black magic sort of stuff about the occult, and simply think the occult is another way to talk about a cult or sect or denomination, then you can see how in the minds of most Japanese, our understanding of religion, a certain set of beliefs in our denomination, in our sect, you might say, can easily be seen from the Japanese mindset as something that is a little bit dangerous. It's sectarian. And I guess in American mindset, it might be easiest to think of how in Islam, the religion leads to what we would consider sectarian beliefs and even unexpected actions like terrorism, or we know in our American history to some degree of cults that follow a cult leader and all commit group suicide or something like that. Here in Japan, there was a cult leader that had become influential among a certain segmented group, and they let out sarin gas in a subway and killed or injured a tremendous number of people. It's that sort of danger that's associated with cults, sects, and denominations that keep most people in Japan very leery about very distinct sect or denomination.
How did World War II affect the religious landscape in Japan?
Well, tremendously. those acquainted with Japanese history probably have heard something about early Japanese history going back into mythology and its origins with Shintoism, and then Buddhism coming to Japan from the outside but being incorporated within Japanese lifestyle and culture. Those two religions, Shinto and Buddhism, kind of had, alternating periods of influence in Japanese history. The military, especially the strong military leaders, wanted to emphasize the power of the emperor under their control, according to Shintoism, as a descendant of the gods and therefore full of divine authority, to be manipulated by the Japanese military before and during World War I and World War II. That was the period of the strong shoguns that provided military leadership and organization in Japan. But the court, the ruling court of Japan society, was a much more cultured and Buddhist influence entity. And so they tried to propagate enlightenment for the people, Buddhist sort of enlightenment for the people. And so they were strong in Buddhist traditions. And when the power of the court was strong, Buddhism flourished more, and the Shinto followers accommodated their beliefs and customs to the Buddhist overview. But when the power was in the military, on the shogun side, then the Buddhist followers began to accommodate Shintoism as the overview. And as a result, the two of them, Shintoism and Buddhism, became rather merged in their practice, even with worship sites, predominantly shared worship sites with a Buddhist temple and a Shinto shrine, because both were such an integrated part of Japanese culture.
There's a saying that the people in Japan are born Shinto, marry Christian, and die Buddhist. What does that mean?
Well, that's an interesting saying, isn't it? But there's a lot of truth to it. But mainly it simply points out that at different events or life stages, there are different ceremonies that are associated with that life stage. So, for instance, in Japan, almost everyone is buried according to the Buddhist rite. And if you have a burial site, it's almost taken for granted that it will be in a Buddhist cemetery and officiated by Buddhist priests, and then records are kept of the dead through the Buddhist record-keeping system. But regarding birth and young childhood, there's strong Shinto customs associated, especially at age 3, 5, and 7, when Japanese bring their child to the Shinto shrine to receive an official blessing from the Shinto priest. And they're very often, the children are dressed in elaborate kimonos and traditional Japanese garments. So Buddhist ceremonies for death, Shinto ceremonies for not only the 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds and 7-year-olds, but the annual festivals that are held in various localities, and especially the summertime festival of the spirits, when the dead spirits come back to visit their home household. Somewhat similar in our understanding to Halloween, but taken seriously, and not so much pranks or goblins on Halloween, perhaps, but the idea of the spirits coming back to visit their home, the household where they lived before. And so families gather together from wherever they are in all of Japan. It's a time for homecoming and for families to get together. And then they all ceremonially spend time together, eating together, and welcoming the spirits of the dead back into the home for this short time of family gathering, and then sending the spirits off into the safe afterlife again at the end of the Obon season, when through some sort of local ceremony, they say goodbye to the spirits, and then life returns as normal. But that's some of the connection between born Shinto, marry Christian, and die Buddhist. Marrying Christian is simply because Christian weddings had become somewhat fashionable after World War II, and having a nice tuxedo or renting one, having a beautiful wedding dress or renting one, and having some sort of minister stand up and provide Christian rites for a marriage, these things are what has become part of common current mindset among most Japanese.
So what are the challenges to Christian mission in Japan?
Well, many people will have many different answers regarding that question, but in my mind, probably the most significant factor involved is that it's popularly recognized that 98.5% of the Japanese citizens are racially homogeneous, quite different from America, which we usually consider a melting pot of different races and nationalities. But this 98.5% of racial homogeneity, that is, purity, maybe not absolute, but the sameness, 98.5% sameness of Japanese racial background. Whatever that means scientifically, I'm not exactly sure, but you can see that whenever you step outside of your door in Japan, Japanese characteristics look very similar, especially from Western eyes. All have black hair, all have same color brownish eyes, and are characteristically Asian, but even more distinctively Japanese for those who live among Japanese for quite some time. And that homogeneity, the super strong majority homogeneity, gives them a tremendous amount of nationally based consciousness, very, very strong. We are Japanese. We live in Japan, and we are all one people, one group, and we value very highly this group mindset among us. It very often is almost similar to what we in America might think of as the segregation, racial segregation, you might say, even in biblical times, between Jews and Gentiles. All the world divided into two groups, Jews and Gentiles. And then even before those New Testament times, the ancient Greeks had a strong understanding of the world divided into two racial groups, us Greeks, the Hellenes, and all the others who are the barbaroi, the barbarians, those who are not civilized. We're civilized, everybody else is non-civilized. So that distinction between us and them, Japanese and outsiders, Japanese and foreigners, is so strong that even though they're quite international in many other respects, they're very, very modern, they're very industrialized, you know, nothing that would distinguish them in other ways like that. But this group consciousness as Japanese in distinctive character, in mindset and culture from any other culture in the world, and that we are hanging together in that one mindset. That aspect of Japanese culture makes it very difficult for someone from the West to ever become integrated actually or really in any reliable way into Japanese culture itself. You can live here for 30, 40, 50 years, all your life, and you will always be a foreigner. Even if you were able to acquire Japanese citizenship, you would still be considered a foreigner with a Japanese citizenship and easily identifiable as foreigner whenever you step out the door. And of course, with foreigners come foreign ideas. And one of the foreign ideas has to do with religion, this Christianity, obviously a foreign religion. Buddhism is one of their own because of its long history and incorporation into the culture. But Christianity is definitely foreign. It might be a little bit like what we in our American towns might think of if there were a Muslim mosque that was built right next door to our Lutheran church. Or, say, for instance, a Buddhist temple built right next to our Lutheran church. We know that we are a country of religious freedom, but somehow you realize, or you think, a Buddhist temple doesn't belong here. A Muslim mosque doesn't belong here. Why? Well, they just don't belong, because they're from the outside, they're foreign. That sort of discrimination between Christian as a Western thought, sect, denomination, or cult is something that could be dangerous to the Japanese people and certainly cause cracks in their national group mindset as Japanese people.
We will discuss the state of Lutheranism in Japan in our conversation with Dr. Daniel Jastrom on religion in Japan next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we close out our study of Revelation with come, and then we move into Genesis with creation day 1, creation days 2 and 3, creation day 4, and creation day 5 and part of 6. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Making disciples for life. Across the nation, students are back in school in over 1,800 schools serving children in early childhood through high school. Students are thriving in programs of excellence in a safe, caring, Christian environment taught by dedicated teachers. To find a school in your community, visit lcms.org/schools. Connect today for information about a Lutheran school for the children in your family at lcms.org/schools.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about religion in Japan with Dr. Daniel Jastrom, Asia Lutheran Resource Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Jastrom, what is the current state of Lutheranism in Japan?
Well, I think the main point to keep in mind here is that there are actually 7 Lutheran church bodies in Japan. And I just recently added up my most recent calculations for the number of congregations associated with each one of those Lutheran denominations. But by my count, there are about 270 congregations in total associated with these 7 different Lutheran church bodies. So that kind of gives you probably the best picture of where Lutheranism stands. In all this country of Japan, which is about 40% of the population of the entire United States of America, 7 different church bodies, but only 271 Lutheran congregations of any sort of Lutheran denomination here. And most of the churches have a very small number of members, probably between 15 to 30 or 40 or thereabouts. So I don't really trust the total number of members figures that are usually given, because those seem to vary so wildly, just like in the United States, where we might count baptized members in distinction from communicant members, in distinction from those who are active members in contrast to inactive members. So I think the 7 denominations and the 270 or so congregations among the different Lutheran church bodies is probably the best way to conceptualize the state of the Lutheran churches here in Japan at the moment.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, has recently called for the Japan Lutheran Church to repent. Why?
Well, that's an interesting story. As you probably have heard or read, the Missouri Synod of Lutheran Church started their mission work in Japan in 1948, just after World War II. My parents arrived in 1953 as one of the missionaries from the LCMS that was dedicated to enthusiastically carrying on mission work in Japan. And we, the Missouri Synod of Lutheran Church, did quite a good job. Within 5 to 8 years, the Missouri Synod of Lutheran missionaries in Japan had grown to about 40 missionary units at work in Japan. Very shortly after, we're able to plant about the same number of congregations that currently exist, about 30 Missouri Synod of Lutheran partner church congregations here in Japan, with about 25 current pastors serving those 30 congregations. And that status of the LCMS missionary work going on in Japan, building up from scratch an LCMS mission church body in Japan, which came to be called the Japan Lutheran Church. It actually became a partner church with the LCMS in 1971, a sister denomination, you might say, to our partner church. And then in 1976, most of the missionaries that were in Japan at that point came back to the States, realizing that their first-generation era of missionary work had been largely completed. They had planted congregations, they had built schools, high schools, colleges, a seminary. New seminary graduates were graduating and being ordained, called and ordained into the pastoral ministry. And so we were able at that time to hand over the governance of the church to the Japanese church body and then give them our blessing, so to speak, to say, fare thee well. We will gladly help and support you as you carry out your work, but you are ready to stand on your own as your own church body and as a partner church to the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. But a number of decades later, it became obvious that the seminary education in the JLC was heading for more and more trouble. The decision had been made to incorporate seminary education in partnership with the more liberal JELC Church, which is associated with the ELCA here in the States now. But together then, those two church bodies decided to embrace more of a liberal theology and practice in their Lutheran understanding, which also included the ordination of women. The more liberal of those two church partners here in Japan, the JELC, began to ordain women in 1970. Not long after then, the Japan Lutheran Church, our partner church, started to think about including more women in the ministry of the church. But they were slowly developing this line of thinking because they realized that the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church would not be willing to accept the ordination of women. But in 2002, one of the women in one of their congregations aspired to become a pastor and officially asked through her congregation for a overture to their synodical convention that the JLC approve the ordination of women. That overture, when it came to as a resolution in their convention, the resolution was tabled, but the resolution that was passed was that the Japan Lutheran Church would begin to ordain women deaconesses, because they realized that what the LCMS was worried about is having women pastors. And so they said, well, as long as we ordain women deaconesses, then we should avoid any direct theological confrontation with the LCMS. And so they continued to not only approve the ordination of women deaconesses, but then in reality to graduate them and then to accept them into congregational ministry. But the key to this practice was that they allowed each congregation to decide what the ordained woman deaconess would do as responsibilities in the congregation. And of course, because the number of Japanese pastors is somewhat limited here in Japan, the congregations who called these women deaconesses into public ministry asked them to preach in the worship service and asked them to administer the Lord's Supper in the worship services. And as a result, then, they were vested with clerical garments using the stole, and people would address them using the same title that is used for pastors in Japanese, which is sensei, and it simply means teacher, but both pastors and deaconesses were addressed with the same reverential title as sensei, or we would say reverend. And that continued for a while, somewhat under the radar, because I perceived that maybe the LCMS wasn't quite aware of exactly what was going on. But in the meantime, the proposals to ordain women into the pastoral ministry continued to appear in their conventions. It was tabled three times. But this last time, in their 2021 convention, finally, the Japan Lutheran Church passed the resolution to ordain women as pastors. And as a result, President Harrison had to respond officially to that official action and say that we've been warning the Japan Lutheran Church for now 10, 15 years even, that if they were actually to come to the point of ordaining women as pastors, that that would break fellowship with the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church. So as a result, President Harrison's letter informed the Japanese Lutheran Church that their resolution had broken fellowship with us, and that as a result, Missionary Association and joint cooperation between the LCMS and the JLC, our former partner church, sadly had come to an end, and that the Missouri Synod of the Lutheran Church would have to raise this in their next convention in order to take official action in convention to recognize the fact that the Japan Lutheran Church had broken fellowship with us.
How does Lutheran theology have an advantage in Japanese missionary efforts?
Well, that's a very good question. I think the most concise way I can say it is that the Lutheran theology, what we understand as sound doctrine and practice, it brings universal, enduring meaning and purpose to the life of the Japanese through the truth of Jesus Christ as Savior. No other religion can provide that comfort and consolation of the gospel in response to the accusations of the law, focused on Jesus Christ as Savior, with a faith that isn't sort of general faith in the Bible or general faith in Christianity as maybe the common denominator for all other denominations, but the distinctive teachings of the Lutheran Church, the distinctive sound doctrine and practice of the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church adds clarity and meaning that no other church body or denomination can. We try not to be general about this understanding. I think there's an advantage, a key advantage, to being distinctive in our theology so that people can clearly understand and grasp hold of, you might say, by faith, the things that Scripture does teach as we confess them in the creeds, in the Lutheran confessions, and as we teach them in the small catechism and explanation.
Finally, you return to Japan tomorrow. Are you excited about the prospects for confessional Lutheranism in Japan?
Yes, I am. Paradoxically, I think it would be easy for people to say, well, what a great disappointment. After 75 years of missionary presence in Japan, and after the first generation, even my parents, 23 years of work as missionaries in Japan, to see that all, you might say, go down the tubes through this decision of the Japan Lutheran Church to ordain women, how sad it is. And yes, it is sad. Thinking of it simply from a human point of view or organizational point of view, it's a tragedy almost. But thinking of it from a Christian point of view, from the aspect of theology and practice, this is a wonderful opportunity to replant with greater clarity and distinctive theology our understanding of what Scripture teaches and the confessions of the Lutheran Church as we've held to them in unaltered form for over 500 years now, being able to make even more distinct and clear the great advantage that our Lutheran faith has in focusing on Jesus Christ as Savior and our salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The thing that excites me the most is that I'm currently communication and association with three other Japanese Lutheran pastors, all from different denominations, none of them associated with our former partner church. But these three Japanese Lutheran pastors, all of them have said, we don't want to go the liberal way. We like the conservative, clear confessions of the Missouri Synod of Lutheran Church focused on the Lutheran confessions and inerrancy of Scripture. And we want to be more like the LCMS, if at all possible, as we work through the challenges that are currently going on in our own denomination, and as we perhaps even look towards the future in not keeping to our historic denomination that came here as missionary efforts and then which we ended up being a part of, but perhaps joining together as confessional Lutherans in some sort of conference or an association that might together cooperate in preserving and proclaiming true and sound doctrine and practice according to Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. That is so energizing for me that I'm looking very forward to returning back to Japan in an early flight tomorrow, leaving at about 6:50 a.m., I believe.
Dr. Daniel Jastrom is Asia Lutheran Resource Coordinator for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's mission and ministry work in Asia on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Dr. Jastrom, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a privilege and a pleasure.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire will be with us for the remainder of the program. We're going to be talking about the question, does the Bible support student loan forgiveness? Family devotions can oftentimes become more difficult during the school year. Concordia Publishing House has produced a new family-friendly resource called The Tree of Life. It contains 10 weeks of devotional content on 10 major biblical accounts. Find out more about The Tree of Life at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Tree of Life Family Activity Kit, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for August. 1-800-325-3040.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod cares deeply for those who protect our nation. Are you or a loved one currently serving? Ministry to the Armed Forces would like to help. We provide devotional literature to encourage faith. Send your mailing address to lcmschaps@lcms.org or call us at 314-996-1337. Those in uniform are comforted with Psalm 28. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him, and He helps me.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We desire for all Christian children, including those with learning or behavior challenges, to receive a strong education in the faith. At simplyclassical.com, you will find reading, penmanship, and copybook exercises based on the truth, wisdom, and comfort of God's Word. We include Aesop's Fables and classic children's literature, math, and science, all from Memoria Press. Use promo code LPR22 at simplyclassical.com.